Now, what are the factors that affect HRM? Very important. This part of the discussion is going to throw some light about what are the things we need to consider when we are dealing with this HRM process. It's affected by a lot of things, environment in which it operates. The environment is of two types, internal within the organization, external which is outside the organization. Okay, HRM professionals must understand the forces which form the environment. These forces have two sources, external, one from outside in the organization, and internal from within. Both are equally important for HRM. Both are equally important. In fact, internal drives the external and external drives the internal. A very loaded statement. Ponder over it. Okay? Internal drives external and external drives internal. Both are interrelated. It's like a demand and supply. Okay? Now, what are the factors affecting HRM? External factors are listed on the left hand side. Environment. External environment, political factors. Okay, we have what is called as in principles of management, we covered in planning chapter, we talked about external analysis and internal analysis. In external analysis, we talked about pest analysis, PEST, political, economic, social and technological climates, right? Now, similar factors are also applicable in this case. Political factors of the land, of outside the company, political factor of the state to which we belong, political factors of the nation to which we belong, political factors of the place where our factory or office is located abroad in some nation where we are doing a global business. They matter. So the hiring there will be affected by the political factors there. The hiring here will be affected by the political factors here. Legal factors. Legal frameworks. Law frameworks are different in different states and different countries. So that impact the hiring process. If you go to a country where the laws are very rigid, you have to take only local people. And if you can hire, if you are hiring only, if you hire some very people with expertise, they can come only with certain conditions, then the legal part will come into picture. Then the job market. Job market means the demand supply part of manpower. Are there enough qualified people, enough experienced people available in their particular location outside? In this country, in this city, in the place where I'm working, in the place where I put up the factory. So those on at that juncture, the job market matters. Next comes competitors. If I'm hiring people for my company, then my competitor, I may be taking people from there. Or 3-4 of us belong to the same industry. So who is hiring whom and what sort of compensation they give them, what sort of job profiles they have, what sort of cultures they have in the competitors, that affects my company. If my company doesn't have a supportive culture, then my boys will work with me and they leave and go there. So my HRM will get affected. So that we need to take into consideration. Then the customers. The customers are outside us. Now, the customers give us constant feedback about the way we treat them. If the customers are unhappy with us, it's a sign that we are not having, our employees are not good enough in giving them service. That is a alarm bell to tell us that we need to buck up our HRM process. Economic growth of the land. If the country is going through a surplus, economic growth is rapid, then it affects our HRM process. How? We have a good economy, our company is doing well. When we hire people, we can give them good packages which we promise to them. The morale will be very high. At the same time, competitiveness will also be high to ensure that the economic growth further takes off to higher levels. Diversity. Outside, when we have a diversity of manpower available, all different age groups, different qualifications, two different gender, and different cultures and different nationalities all coming together, that affects our HRM process. Especially when I'm a global company, this is a very important factor. Globalization. A buzzword which is being used by many people. What's a globalization process? It's basically a company is setting up its plants or offices in certain other countries using the local resources. So that we are able to deliver our products at a competitive price with same quality is being made at the parent country. Okay? Now, this globalization process affects my HRM process. IT companies, they go through this. So the globalization is more rapid, it's more competitive, then you have to hire people in a very competitive way. It's a very tricky, challenging thing for these organizations. Technological factor, when there's a technological advancement going on, then my manpower also needs to be technologically advanced. They have to be upgraded. If there are changes happening in the marketplace on a product which I'm already manufacturing, and that product is getting upgraded by due to technological factors by my competitor, then that affects the hiring of the manpower in my company. Very important. Cultural factors. Now, cultural factors, every organization has got its own corporate culture, and the organization is located in a society which has got a culture with which the society lives. Now, some cultures are very conservative, and those conservative cultures, for example, they may not allow their women folk to work. So in that location, since the cultural factors are not allowing women folk to work, we may find it challenging to hire women for the functions. So the cultural factors, it could be religion, it could be some social norms which they are following. These are all cultural factors that come in the way of the HRM process in a company. Okay. On the other side, internal side, within the organization, what are the factors that affect the HRM? The strategies of the company, which is again related to the vision of the company and the mission statement and all that, right? Trade unions, how strong the union is, how weak the union is, do they have the capacity to collectively bargain, have they been represented by a proper union leader? Organization culture, this is very important. Organization culture is a set of beliefs, practices, etc., which is adopted by the top management as their identity towards the world outside. The top management of an organization adopts, it follows certain beliefs and practices. They may say that we want all our boys to wear tie culture. We want everybody to wish each other early morning by shaking hands. You know, these are cultures, and cultures are not taught, they are caught. So when you join an organization, you come to know what sort of a culture they have. Is the culture human resources enabling, or is it human resources disenabling? If the culture is human resources enabling, then the HR practices there will be very, very friendly for the purpose of the survival and the enhancement and the development of manpower. Okay. Political and legal factors. External factors, may be taking the political and legal factors, which is now, these are some of them pointed here, which are put here. I'll just cover some of them. Sons of the soil policy, which is very common in India. The state to which you belong, the local people, they feel that outsiders are invading their land, and so what they say, we want to see that sons of the soil are taken care of. Bhumiputra, in one nation, in Far East, they call them the Bhumiputra thing. So we are the son of the soil, so we need to be given the first preference for employment. So those policies are there, political and legal factors coming together. Reservations, caste reservation, okay, reservation because of, you know, the community to which you belong, etc. Equality, equal opportunities. Equal opportunities for whoever is qualified enough, experienced enough to come in without any bias. No discrimination, local regulations which are there at the point of time, labor laws and changes in the political party in the power. This is again a most important thing in a country like India. When the political party changes, at the center we have one political party, at the state level we may have political parties changing very frequently. So when they change, the policies will affect the HRM recruiting process of your company. Job market consists of employment exchanges, universities. I've already explained this. Okay. So basically job market talks about employment exchanges, universities, colleges, etc., from where we are taking in people, and it provides a supply of HR to the organization. The quality of an HR organization depends on quality of the job market. Okay. If I'm a good IT company, a progressive IT company, and I want good youngster to join my company as a developer, I need to go to the best IT colleges, engineering colleges which are coming out with the best IT engineers. Okay, so that job market is a very important aspect of our HRM. And from the supply available in the market, HR selects the best quality for the firm depending upon what they want. Competitors, they make the job of recruitment difficult for HR, attractive terms and conditions need to be offered to candidates. After selection, attractive pay packages have to be structured to retain them. And when competition makes talented workforce scarce, HR has to groom employees through training and development. See, there are a number of issues. It's not about only money. Okay. Now, there's a company A in IT. There's a company B in IT. Both are competing with each other. They are level playing field they are into. So, A is giving X package to its employees and B is giving Y package. X is much higher than Y. But what happens in case of A, the people join and leave very fast because the culture is very different. In B, the package Y is much less than A, but then people are retained. So, when we talk about competitors, let's not take it that competitors means it's only about the money aspect of the or the compensation aspect of employees. It's much more than that. So, you as a company should frame a type of a policy which will make the best possible availability of manpower for your requirements. Now, there's a very large IT organization in India, the top number one. And this organization, what it does is, it has got its policies very clear. Now, the policies are not, one of the things in the policy, they don't give very high salary packages. But the attrition levels are very low because people retain, there's a tremendous level of growth in development and job satisfaction for the employees who are working there. Rarely they leave the company. The attrition level is as low as something like 7.5 to 8% or maybe 10% maximum. In an industry where at this point of time it is much, much more. It's because, and mind you, they don't pay more. So, I've got to see what is the competitor aspect of it. Okay. Then we take it to the next one, customers. I've already explained this to you. Customers demand only high quality products and services at reasonable prices. Both quality and cost are determined to a large extent by the employees, obviously. And then the quality and skills of an employee have to be built in by HR. Just visualize this thing importantly. It's never been done before. Here is a customer outside my company who is demanding quality and price. If my company has to constantly give them quality and price, what should I do as an employee in this company? I am inside, customer is outside. If he is asking for quality and price, do you think that I need to also think about quality and price? Answer is yes. So if I need to think on quality and price, then I need to work consciously towards both these things happening properly. It's important. Economic growth in economically developed countries, governments spend large amount of money and resources on education, thereby assuring skilled workforce in their organization. This skilled workforce increases their productivity in developed countries. In developing countries like India, for example, skilled labor is scarce and organizations have to spend on training fresh recruits. This is one of the scenarios, not always true everywhere. In short, the organization, the country has to take the initiative of making the economic growth happen. Today, India is no more developing. We are actually in the process of, you know, going ahead. We are a nation to reckon with. Our skilled workforce has actually increased. You know, we've got the best skilled people in India today. Okay. Diversity. In an MNC, human resources are diverse. Multinational companies, human resources are diverse. In terms of people come from different nationalities, different countries, religions, cultures, languages, education, skills, age, gender, etc. So it's a very wide cross-section of people who are working. Now this wide cross-section of people form the diversity. So managing such a diversity is a new challenge to HRM. The diversity has to be harnessed, brought together, taken in a direction for creativity, innovation, increased productivity and improved decision making. It's very important. So imagine I'm working in an IT company wherein I got a group of say 20 people working with me as my team. One person is from Mexico, 60, maybe 50 year old guy. I have a lady who's from say Singapore. She's about say 35. I've got a youngster, two youngsters from US, one from East Coast, one from West Coast. So I have a diverse group of people with whom I'm working. One glove doesn't fit all. I'm not dealing with manpower resources of homogeneous nature. This is heterogeneous. Heterogeneous means each one of them have got different dreams, passions, likes, dislikes, etc., which can't be ignored. Although all of us are working for the same goal, each one is different. Now, today we have organizations send employees for cultural training, cross-cultural training, which means that if I am getting posted, let us say, to France for the next 1 year for a project as an IT engineer, then I need to know the French culture and the French norms, how to behave, what and do what, how to conduct myself in the best possible manner so that I'm not misunderstood. It's very important, because it's not enough to be effective at the workplace. I also need to have a harmony at the workplace, and understanding each other's culture is a must today. It was an option once upon a time. It's not an option anymore. It's a must. Then we talk about globalization. Be local, think global. And there's a term which we use called glocal. G-L-O-C-A-L. Think global and act local. Is a new mantra. The hiring, training, compensation and retaining strategies of HR have to be adopted and followed, keeping global perspective. A company which is having its headquarters in India, like in Infosys. Now they have different locations around the world. So each location, let's say they have a location in Mexico. Now they have to think global. But when they have the office in Mexico, they have to think like the Mexicans out there. So it's a very healthy combination of the parent company's culture and the local culture both coming together. Technological factors is about the changes in the technology happen on a daily basis as a result of intense competition. Job seekers have become highly knowledgeable and professional today. Technology permits these professionals to work from home and at outside the office. Some of you listening to me may be working from home. Many IT companies have got this facility. You know, for example, ladies, you know, who have become new mothers, you know, they have just become young mothers. So they're allowed to work from home. So they take care of their babies at home. At the same time, what they do is they work from home, and this new facility has come. The creation of a virtual office, for example, it's a new concept wherein everybody works from their own home and they come out with the productivity, right? So HR managers are required to manage and retain technologically advanced employees through new HR strategies. You know, a day is coming when we need not have a brick and mortar office. You know, I sit at my home in my study or my small studio office, and then I have my other colleagues who are working with me. They are in their respective homes, and all we do is we communicate with each other with all the latest communication devices available, and then we get work done. Now that day will also come. When that type of a thing comes, the HR has got a different type of a outlook and a flavor towards it. They need to look at other challenges. Okay. Taking it further, we discuss cultural factors. The attitude of the human resources towards work depends upon their cultural background. In India, it's a multicultural society. In the same state like Maharashtra, we got so many other subcultures. We have every 100 kilometers you travel, you find a new way of speaking Marathi. The food habits also change, thinking habits change, the values are also slightly different. Now this affects the person's working. The work ethics, achievements, needs, effort, reward, expectations are a result of the culture. So while one culture will say that I would like to have a high quality of work, another culture will say that I want money. Now this cultural background from where you come, your home, at the same time the community from where you come, they affect the way you work. Now we are comparing. Japanese, for example, are highly conscious about their quality, and Indians are known for their loyalty to the employers. Two different cultures. Okay. So depending upon the culture from where you come, it's going to affect the way you are working in the organization. HR also has to manage multicultural workforce emerging from globalization. Today's HR is an international HR, and we need to understand how these different cultures are coming together. In fact, within the country like India itself, we got so many cultures to study that we can keep on studying throughout the lifetime. Strategy. Strategy of an organization ensures that the objectives of the organization and resources of the organization are aligned properly. We have resources and there's a strategy on one side. What's the strategy? It's about an approach and going into the unknown to achieve some goal. There can be more than one or two, three goals. As I'm approaching, I know that each of the goals I could be achieving, and one goal is more important than the other as I'm going through. But the objectives are more or less fixed. Now to make this thing happen, this strategy is going to help me to hire, to understand how to hire people, how to retain people, how to motivate, how to develop them. This alignment between resources and objectives of the organization is the strategy, structure and human resources and the management decides the success of the organization. All these things I need to align. When I align them together, it's a challenge how to align them. That alignment takes place only when I know what sort of human resources I need to fulfill this particular alignment between organization and resources. HR has to ensure that its recruitment and selection policies are aligned to the organization strategy to achieve competitive edge in the market. Okay, organizations are seen to have strategy X and they achieve something else Y, which is totally disconnected. On the other hand, if both these things are connected, which is a conscious connection that needs to happen through internal communication, then this works. Trade unions were formed to enable employees to have a collective voice in their pay, working conditions and other benefits. Now, unions formed in India usually had political affiliations. So, political affiliations of unions brings a new perspective to the union management relation, and presence of more than one union gives rise to multi-union rivalry. Very common. And these two factors complicate the job of an HR manager who have to be careful and diplomatic in handling unions. A very tough call. Like I told you while I am talking to you, one of the auto major in India is just going through a crisis. And they are actually going through this crisis. And this is supposed to be one of the crises. We don't know what exactly is the issue. It's a big challenge for HR, a case study for HR. Then the organization culture. Earlier we talked about this is the internal culture we are talking about now. We talk about culture which I bring from my home to the company. Now the company itself is a small society. The company itself is a mini society. So they have their own culture. Now that culture is required for running the company effectively. So that is what is called as organization culture. Every organization has got its own culture, which is a product of its human resources, organizational success and failures, vision, etc., etc., etc. The way they think collectively at the top level. HR has to proactively adjust to the changes in the organizational culture and ensure there is no mismatch between the goals of the organization and those of the individual employees. The organization culture to which I am where I am working may say that we have got a 6-day working. But if I come from a culture where I want a Saturday off due to some religious reasons or due to some other reasons, then my Saturday off cultural background from where I come will clash with the 6-day week. The company says that we will give you only 5 paid holidays. Organization culture has created a policy which says only 5 paid holidays in a year. And I am coming from a background where I got a number of festivals and functions in my religion to which I belong. And I frequently want to take leave. That culture, if it is more overpowering, I may leave the company. Or if this culture is overpowering, I may forego those customs. So what happens as a consequence, there's a push-pull between the individual's culture from where he emerges and the organization culture which starts imposing itself on the individual. There have been instances in the past when people have left an organization because it clashes with their community culture to which they belong. Even now, a lot of people do it at the operation level. There's a price and a payoff for doing either of the two. If I only absorb the company culture, then there's a tendency, there's a likelihood in today's world that I may give up my culture from where I come. It's happening today. On the other hand, if I stick on to only my culture and, you know, don't give too much of cognizance to the company culture, then I have a problem. I may not be growing up in the ladder. This is possible. So there's a push-pull between the individual culture, which is coming from external conditions, and the corporate culture, which is an internal condition. Strategic HRM is a combination of strategy and HRM. It aims to link HRM with the organization strategies so that they can attain a competitive edge in the global market. Already explained to you. It's an alignment between what the organization wants to do in the market in terms of achievements in a very volatile space. Now, when we hire people, we need to have people who are having that type of a mindset to be thinking in strategic terms. A. B. The HR department itself should have a strategic thinking process wherein they assert themselves as people who can be a part of the decision making at the top level. Factors like globalization, increased technological changes, diversity in human resources of an organization and highly competitive environment have led to development of SHRM. Okay. The future. We are coming to the next point, the concluding point of this discussion, the future of HRM. We are using a term called human capital management. Human beings are no more seen as cost, they're seen as investment. You know, we use this term very often, C2C, cost to the company. Many of us feel that that's not a proper term to use. We feel that we must use a term called I2C, investment to the company. Every human resource who is inducted into my company, I need to call him or her as a I2C, investment to the company. What's the investment this person has to the company? Investments grow. Investments are also risky, right? Unlike savings. So HRM in future is going to be replaced by HCM, human capital management. HRM assumes its employees to be organizations, resources that can be drawn and utilized by management to accomplish a task. Whereas HCM treats employees as investment. Here it is seen as resources, and resources have got limitations. After they get used, they're out. They retire at the age of 58 or 60, as the case may be. Whereas when it comes to human capital, there's no retirement. So long as you have the capacity to work, so long as you have the capacity to add value through your work, through your contribution, you remain a capital. So it treats employees as investors in their own, as their own capital, as their capital. Thus, management does not own the human capital but rent it from employees. Intellectual capital, we say. That means you take my thinking process for what I do, and my thinking process being the way it is superior, I have a higher value in the market. Human capital, not resources alone. Resources is, I got a limitation. It's only about muscle, body, mind, etc. But here we are talking about something which is of a very, very generative level. HRM conceives that employees add to the value, while HCM believes that they create value. Because this person is intelligent and he's got a very sharp thinking process, he is seen to be more innovative for the company's inputs as compared to someone else who's just qualified. So the focus is on what sort of value you're able to add, what sort of a capital do you have with you, which is going to add value to the company. HCM is a new concept and yet to win acceptance in management circles. It's all slowly it's gaining momentum, and HCM works well in people-oriented organizations enjoying large volumes of business. IT companies typically talk about HCM. Role of HR in brand management. Now we talk about brand. Okay, if an organization has to be a brand in the marketplace, all of you will agree, common sense will tell you that the people inside should have that brand thinking. They should have the thinking wherein they feel that they are contributing to the brand. They should be engaged with the brand of the organization, right? So what's a brand? It's defined as any name, logo, term, sign, or a combination of them intended to identify the goals or services of any seller and to identify them from those offered by competitors. A unique identity is what makes you a brand. A brand is a promise. A brand adds value to the person who buys the brand. Earlier, branding was the exclusive forte. It was the exclusive strength of marketing only. So marketing people talk about brands, right? Today, HR is talking about brands as well. Now, branding of the product services has extended to the branding of the people of the company and the company itself. This part can be handled by HRM. So if I have to, if my company has to be recognized as a brand in the marketplace, then the people who are hired in my company should also have a brand thinking. They must really think like the brand. Brand value depends upon what your employees, ex-employees, suppliers talk about the company in the job market. It also depends upon how your employees engage in social activities, research, teaching, etc. HR can encourage employees to actively participate in these activities. See, when we talk about product brand, we are talking about the product being useful to the customer. But when we talk about an HR brand, we are talking about how good a valuable human being is. Does he go along and take voluntary activities for doing CSR, corporate social responsibility? Is he a person who's adding value to others because of his own upbringing? Since I grow, do I make others grow? Now, many good organizations promote this human resources brand development, brand value. They are promoting it so that everybody who's growing is making others grow. They say a good leader makes others leaders, not followers. until recently, organization was satisfied by caring for its customers, but now it is also, but now it has also to manage how the company is perceived in the job market. So when our people inside are very good people, evolving people, people would like to work, come and work with us. That itself is a brand. See, in business magazines, many of you must have seen how best places to work, you know, they give a list of it every year, every periodically, every 3 months, 6 months, they keep giving. So those companies are the best places to work because there the people develop in a very, very big way. That company has got this brand concept of HRM. With well-established brand value in the job market and organization benefits are, an organization benefits as skilled candidates are attracted to join it. Attrition is well managed and ex-employees will talk positively about the organization. Some of you are listening to me may come from excellent organizations. So when you leave the company, you'll talk good about it. And you also notice that in your company, the attrition levels are low. People don't leave the company very frequently. Not many people leave. But the company is good. And also, the skilled candidates, all the best skills you are able to attract. Why? Because of the human resources practices within the company. The way they are treated, the way they are developed, the way they are kept in a very high morale. That is a part of the brand management. We go to the summary, which talks about human resources management is a management function that helps an organization to manage its human resources. Simple definition. The process of HR in an organization consists of manpower planning, job analysis, recruitment and selection, motivation techniques, training and development, employee welfare, performance appraisal, compensation, administration and separation. A whole gamut of things, which we have already discussed. HRM in an organization is affected by various factors in the external technological changes, globalization, political, legal, and internal organization strategy, trade unions, organization culture, environment, etc. Okay, HRM in the near future will be replaced by strategic human resources management, and in the distant future it will be replaced by human capital management. That's all, friends. Thank you, and have a lovely time developing yourself as an HR individual.